A new traffic report looks at the most congested Chinese cities in the third quarter of this year. Is your city on the list? I certainly know.
Yes, it is.
My city, Beijing, is on the list. Yeah. But we only hold the third position.
We didn't win.
Yeah. What happened?
It's a good thing.
Is it? Yes. Well, not winning every competition. Yeah. Means,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what's the list and what's caught your eye on it?
Yes. So let's talk about this report. Online map service provider AMAP co-published the third quarter traffic analysis report of major Chinese cities in 2017 on November 27th. With the Planning Research Institute and the Science Research Institute of Chinese Ministry of Transport, Chinese cloud computing and artificial intelligence technology company Ali Yun. This was a big effort. Also, I believe Mobike did a little work on this report as well. So let's talk about it. So I guess they looked at among 100 major Chinese cities for this report. 42% of them, though, you'll be happy to know this, for major Chinese cities. Maybe you'll be happy about this. They've stayed the same. All right. So it's neutral. They didn't like get more congested, but they didn't really necessarily get less congested. They kind of just stayed the same, which sometimes that's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. 37% of the cities saw an improvement. Whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's almost close to 42%, the ones that are staying the same. So you see 37% of these 100 major Chinese cities in this report, they're seeing improvements. Something's going on. Something's changing. And people are getting to work on time. But then, you know, you saw 21% of these cities have their congestion become worse. Okay, the report uses congestion delay index to make the ranking of the 100 cities. Definition of the congestion delay index, that's the ratio between the average transportation time during the peak period and the average transportation time without congestion. So basically you're taking the rush hour traffic and comparing it with the non-rush hour traffic to see what that congestion is like.
Yeah, we can take a closer look at about the ranking of this report. So we have offered a spoiler of Beijing only ranked at number 3 in this ranking.
Sorry, I did that. I just had to.
Yeah, but I'm happy to see that. We all have to see that who live in Beijing. Great. But people may guessing who win the top spot. Actually, it's Jinan. Jinan City, the provincial capital of Shandong Province. And it has become the most congested Chinese city in the third quarter with a congestion delay index at over 0.2 point. So followed by Harbin and Beijing, Guangzhou, Chongqing, Dalian, Changchun, Shanghai, Xi'an, and Kunming. And I think most of these cities share a similarity. It's because most of them are the capital cities of a populous province or municipalities, except Dalian. And also, when we talk about the most congested cities, so people may also curious about which is the least congested
city. Ooh, I want to move there.
It's Taizhou. It's actually a prefecture-level city of Jiangsu Province. And for
What does that mean, prefecture-level?
It's a pretty, like, Chinese thing. I think it's a middle-sized cities, which is, like, ranking below the provincial capitals and below the counties in the province.
Actually, above the county level.
Oh, yeah,
so
above.
Sandwiched in the middle. So, that's a medium-sized city, and it's nice to see that at least some cities are, doing really well in killing the traffic.
Yeah, but what's really interesting is this city, Taizhou, their average car speed during the peak period was 39.5 kilometers per hour. Very close to that during the non-peak period of 42.34 kilometers per hour. So that means when it's rush hour, you're almost going as fast. Imagine, for anybody that lives in like Guangzhou or Beijing, going as fast as you would during the non-peak hours when it's like early morning and you're trying to get to work and you're going that fast at that time. Whoa! It's hard to imagine. There's, places like that for peak hours. But also, we see drivers in Hong Kong and Ordos in Inner Mongolia. They enjoy a car speed reaching 38.1 kilometers per hour and 37.6 kilometers per hour respectively during the peak period. So even they are seeing kind of faster moving traffic during their peak periods. So let's talk about what peak periods are just real quick. For anybody that knows, peak periods are going to be the average time that we consider rush hour. So that's 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Different cities have different times where people are rushing to the subway or jumping in their car. I guess for Jinan, they are most congested between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. But like, let's look at Chongqing. Between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., they're really seeing a lot of congestion. You also have your evening peak period, which is often between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. I guess like people in Harbin face the most serious traffic jam between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. So even though maybe I said the average time for peak, like let's say morning peak traffic is 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., some of these cities aren't having their peak periods during that entire time. Some of them just an hour, okay? But still, I think what we're seeing here is that some of these cities are still suffering or even getting worse in some cases when it comes to congested traffic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's actually quite interesting. Just one detail you guys have shared with me that it just pops into my eye. Basically, when you compare the traffic situation in international city like Hong Kong, as opposed to maybe Taizhou or Ordos that you guys have mentioned, I think that's not necessarily a fair comparison. Because if you see that Hong Kong is doing similarly as well as Ordos, which is a far bigger city with less traffic actually, then I think there's actually a lot to be learned to see why Hong Kong, such an international city with a lot of traffic and actually pretty narrow streets, can be doing so well. And I think here we need to go a little bit more into the details of analysis in why some cities manage to really keep their traffic pretty smoothly, as opposed to some maybe not doing so well.
I think we can take Jinan as an example since it's ranking at the top of this list. So I've been to Jinan once, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. The impression it left to me is like, I think the traffic there is very crowded and very chaos. I mean, people in there who driving, sometimes they don't follow the rules and maybe they don't have the like driving courtesies or something. But I think this is not happen to everyone. So I just do some research on why is like Jinan so congested. So one thing is said on the media report is because it shows that it from the east to west direction is more crowded than a south to north direction. Also, when we take a look at all these congested areas during the peak hours, it's most of the tourist attractions, which those like areas covers the tourist attractions such as Baotuquan, the Baotu Spring, or the Quancheng Gongyuan, Spring City Parks, and maybe also the Olympic Center. And also it covers some like university campus. Those areas that are really congested during the peak hours. And also maybe it's because like the urban trunk road network, it's already in super or hyper like saturation state. And also maybe because in a winter and a summertime, cars usually break down, so it will cause another like traffic jams.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is the report said 63 out of 100 cities in this report became the least congestive in July since the summer vacation. Exactly what you said, Huangshen. More students stop going to school. Maybe parents aren't taking their kids to school. Yeah. They're staying at home. This is a reason for people to not leave their houses and congest the streets, right? Also, I guess 84 cities became the most congested in September since the new semester started. So we see the figures there, cities becoming more congested and less congested out of these 100 cities, depending on when kids go to school, right? Also, you know, like you know, you were alluding to, we have Qingyuan, also a prefecture-level city in Guangdong. It became the most congestive city during the vacation and holiday period. That's because it's a border city for Guangdong, Hunan, and Guangxi. So you can imagine, too, its location. If I'm near the border of other places, or maybe I'm the area with the big airport or this and that, I'm going to see a lot of traffic during things like holiday periods because I have the infrastructure for people to get from A to B.
Yeah.
There's so many reasons why cities are facing this. It's not just, you know, what people would automatically assume, oh, there's too many people in this city. No, sometimes it's just too many people trying to get to the only spot to do the one thing. Mm-hmm. Or here's why I say this is because looking forward how we can kind of solve these kind of problems, this congestion issue, we have some great examples. But one thing that I particularly thought of is, you know, sometimes I feel like cities, they build all the stuff that's related to each other in one area. So mm-hmm. you have your financial area with all the financial stuff going on. And then you have a certain area for schools, right? We have that here in Beijing. Kind of up north, you have a lot of schools together, right? And so in that Wudaoko area. And so you have all these kind of hot spots where you just really clump everything together. And in which case, this is going to create a lot of clutter for people to get to the one spot for the one thing that this huge city has.
Yeah.
It's a huge city. I think for a lot of what can be done here is, of course, we'll talk about subways, we'll talk about public transportation, we'll even talk about bike sharing. Ooh, we haven't talked about that in a while. Everybody's talking about bike sharing these days. But I think one thing is how you plan a city on a private level as well as a public level. But I want to talk about the private level in saying that let's not have all these internet giant companies next to each other in one area of the city so that everybody that works in IT has to go to this one area to take one subway line or one street and really create so much traffic. In which case, I think one thing that can be done is maybe some regulations. Of course, this probably would have to be done from the city government saying, okay, like we have no problem with having, you know, companies and businesses run their operations here and have a nice building and employ our people. But let's spread them out. So like you have to be in this part of the city. You have to be in this part of the city. And check this out. You could also, in doing so, really develop and add value to the parts of the city that aren't getting that huge clump of whatever, like the financial district, mm-hmm. right? You look at the financial mm-hmm. district of most cities, it's probably really nice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You go, you're a big financial bigwig, mm-hmm. You probably want a nice infrastructure around that area. So if you spread these kind of places out, maybe you'll also be improving the city on so many levels so that it's not just one part of the city is really nice and the other part's not this and, you know, but instead a more level playing field. And then also maybe you're going to fix that congestion.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea, Ryan. And the problem here is that when you look at development and usually mm-hmm. With city management and also I think attracting businesses and also giving out preferential policies to attract these big players to your district, often I think the government likes to invite them in so-called clusters. Mm-hmm. So that's I think a fundamental issue for city planning as well as for to plan out where businesses should be located. As we see here in Beijing that a lot of like wherever there is a good school of whatever age or a hospital, then there's always huge traffic congestion around it. And then it's sort of like cancer and it grows in that area. And I think when you have these kind of facilities, it's really important if you have the benefit of being able to plan the structure around it, then leave it a bit more room.
Well, but what you said makes sense. I mean, maybe the city says, okay, I don't want to have to up a bunch of schools in certain areas, so I'll clump all these professionals that I know they value education and want it for their kids. I'll clump them, all these companies next to good schools and good hospitals so that they're all happy. But in which case, at the same time, maybe too, you could spread these out. And in which case, you know, these talents that we often say a lot of big cities are trying to attract talents, you know, by way of improving their infrastructure, this could be also done in big cities as well. So you send a company like, let's say, Baidu to a different part of Beijing or something like that, and in which case these professionals, maybe the infrastructure there will improve schools for their kids and whatnot, and also the other people living in that area. And in which case, too, congestion will go down. Maybe lives will be made easier.
Also, I think when we talk about the root cause of the traffic congestion, I think it's about the boosting number of the cars in China. And also, I think if we look at Hong Kong, it's a very packed city. Why the people there can also enjoy a high speed, like you can drive a car in a very high speed? It's because the cars, and it's really expensive there, and also the car lessons, and also the parking fees are staggering high. And so people tend to choose the public transportation, and also there's like escalators in the central area. So I think the reason why Beijing shows a better performance in this ranking is because now we really welcome the bike sharing. I think bike sharing has kind of like eased the congestions. I think taking myself, for example, in the past, for those places are not that walkable, so I choose to take a taxi. For example, when we just get off at Yuanli, if we want to go to the place or the Parkview Grand, we will try to take a taxi or a bus. But now we can take a mobike, the public sharing bike. And also based on the research, like the report showed that among the 10 roads that saw the greatest traffic improvement in Beijing, most of them were near the residential communities. And also data from Mobike also showed that these areas were also the places that the usage of shared bikes increased dramatically.
Yeah, I think shared bikes, they are really useful when it's a short distance. And in the past, maybe you want to get a taxi or maybe drive. But now when it's a short amount of distance, then you can simply just do it with the shared bike, which is, well, convenience is one thing. But also we've talked about on the show before, also some people get injured because those bikes are cluttering the pavement up. But certainly, when you look at the general situation in China, one has to look at the rise of number of private car ownership, and also I think the number of new driver's license that people are getting. And when you have a driver that's got one year less kind of driving experience, possibly that person could be stopping the traffic in many ways.
I disagree. Statistics from Beijing show that for the subway trains, the load ratio reaches 130%, Hayoung, during the morning rush hour, and surpasses 100% during the evening rush hour. So this isn't even just cars. This is people taking what's available, and there's a lot of lines here in Beijing. The thing is, so you have Mobike, and I honestly don't necessarily think Mobike really does improve the traffic necessarily, because I feel like when I've driven with friends and I'm going through the streets, sometimes people just ride their bikes across the street when it's not the green light or when there's not even a light, these kind of things. Of course, that's not necessarily something that pertains to just a person on the bike, but maybe they'd be taking the subway if there wasn't a Mobike. I don't know. Mobike gets more people on the streets. Maybe they're more healthy. They're working out, you know, riding their bikes. But at the same time, I've seen, I think, congestion happen from people using these shared bikes. And then also for the subway, you know, Beijing has a lot of subway lines. It's great. But you'll notice that some lines are way more crowded than others. And that is because people are just trying to get to one area of the city. That's why I said clumping things up for, let's say, entertainment, or all the best movie theaters are here, all the best something's here. You know, in one sense, it does make sense. You know, at least you know what part of the city's good for entertainment or good for this or good for that. But at the same time, I think sometimes spreading out the infrastructure of entertainment and work and finances and all this stuff will create a lot less traffic. But I see also the benefit in this, because let's say privatized business. I'm in the financial area, right? What's really convenient for me is having a clumped up financial district, it doesn't take me long if I need to rush over to another company and make a deal or do something, or the communication, having all those things clumped up together, I can see the benefit of that. But at the same time, too, I think for the people that work there that maybe can't afford to live in the expensive financial district area, maybe it's a commute, and maybe that commute equals congestion for everybody on certain lines.
I think I absolutely agree with you with that observation, but the problem is a lot of this happens in an organic fashion. That is, yes, we do have the high-tech districts, like in Zhongguansun, for example, or the CBD area where the top businesses are located. And also, there's the residential areas that's pretty far out. That it just happened. It's housing price was cheaper back then, and then people all go there to purchase a place to live. And now a few years later, you get that huge congestion issue, as Ryan has been talking about.